My dear friends, we are turning tonight to Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I read verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech, implore, plead you or with you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. That's our title tonight. Be ye reconciled. But you see, in the text here, if you look at from verse 18, 19 and 20, five times you find the noun or the verb related to reconciliation or reconcile. So it means it is a key word. Five times, reconciliation, reconciling, reconciled. But you see, in that word, I read verse 20, there is earnestness. There is earnestness. There is pleading. There is imploration in the words. But don't be misled. It is also a command. The command is put before us. But the command comes also with compassion. With compassion, with love. Oh, how we wish to plead with you tonight. If you are still outside the kingdom of God, may I ask you, if you have never repented from your sins, you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, or with gentle words, I wish I have better words to speak to your soul. What do you live for? Please, what do you live for? You know, you will be separated from everything you have in this world. You will leave it behind. Oh, the good, the nice clothes you have, you bought them, may be expensive. All the furniture you have at home, the cars, the house, the building, your account, all those things you will leave them behind. But there is one thing you will never be separated from. It is your soul. And one day you shall give account to God about your soul. So it's just a pleading words to you and to myself tonight. If you are still a non-believer, just living for this world. You see, the good news of reconciliation is here. The means of reconciliation, the methods of reconciliation, the man of reconciliation, the reason of reconciliation. Everything is here. It's involved. The two parties that are involved. And why we need reconciliation? Oh, God is one party. And we sinners, the second party. You see it all here. The ministry of reconciliation, the author of reconciliation, the messenger of reconciliation, the message of reconciliation. All is here, just in one verse for you and me. And this is your warrant tonight. It is your warrant, the guarantee that if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in him, you shall be reconciled with God. It's all about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know reconciliation is at the heart of the gospel? The only religion that tells you, oh, here is what God has done for you because you have offended God. And God himself came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is at the heart of the gospel, the good news of salvation. It's all here for our understanding. But you see, when we speak about reconciliation, we are not speaking about national, tribal, or ethnic reconciliation. You know, in some countries, that you have ethnic groups, you have nationalities, you have tribes, and some of them are all the time in war against one another. So much tragedy, damage, shed blood is happening, blood is shed. day after day, just because people hate one another. But we are not speaking about that. We are speaking about a personal and universal reconciliation with God. With God. It's not about nations. It's not about tribes or ethnicity. It's about how we have offended the living God. It's bigger than all human peace and political treaties. You know, the world has even, I'm not making any political comment here. We have even the UN, and they try to settle. They have even UN peacekeepers going into different countries in order to settle peace and to make peace between the in that nation. But we're not speaking about that kind of reconciliation here. And this is not about the shenanigans or the loggerheads or petty quarrels between husbands and wives or people in the same family or in the neighborhood between you and your neighbor. That's not what we mean here by reconciliation, but it is about our personal hatred of God. My dear friend, just sit there and think about it. Here I am, God made me, but I hate him. I hate him. I wish he has never existed. It is like the prodigal son who said to his father, give me my inheritance. You know what he's saying to his father? I wish you die. And even recently, I read on the news that a boy of 15 years old killed his mother and his father and burned the house just to inherit them. And this is exactly what we are doing with God. God gives us everything. He gives us the air we breathe. He gives us food. He gives us family. He gives us education. He gives us friendship. Everything you have. Oh yes, in our foolishness, we think, I am a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman. But nobody is a self-made man. God has made us. But you see, we are speaking about our hatred for our Creator. We are at a dagger's drawn with God. Really, we have the hatchet, and we want, if God has manifested himself in a physical sense, we will be the first one to kill him. But God is spirit. God is invisible. He fills heaven and earth. And that's why I read from Colossians chapter 1, the Lord Jesus Christ created all things. He is God. Things that are visible or invisible, Christ made them, because Christ is the visible God of the invisible God. You want to know God? You must look God into the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why he came into this world. Oh, my dear friends, it's the human mutiny. You know, it's like in a coup d'etat. We have made a coup d'etat. We want God to, it's like Satan who wanted to be God himself, and he wanted to overthrow the person of God and sit on the throne. But we have this human mutiny, and it led to a cataclysmic fall. We have drastically fallen. We have fallen so low because of sin and because of our rebellion against God. If I can speak on behalf of most of us here present tonight and those who are watching us online, oh, I'm sure none of us here likes war. And even the small discord in a family, we don't like it. We don't like confrontation. If you are like me, I'm sure you are, you don't like confrontation. Some people, maybe they like it, but it's never easy to embark in a confrontation with somebody. But what about war? War with God? The greatest confrontation, the greatest conflict, but we are engaged in that war with our Maker. He is holy, he is perfect and pure, but we are just sinners who have violated his law. We have broken every law of God. Every sin we have committed in this life should really send us into hell. But you see the compassion of God again. Instead of you sending you even tonight I call it sometimes high speed train going into hell. But out of his compassion, he says, no, I will slow it down. I will have compassion on him, on her. And or maybe even tonight, that person will repent. You don't have to do it here tonight. Oh, yes, you don't have much time to do it, but you can go. When you go back home in the secret of your room, on your knees there, and you call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, I did this many decades ago, and I can tell you I don't regret it. If I need to be do it to do it again tonight, I will do it because it is so sweet. It gives you an unspeakable joy. It gives you a lasting joy. It gives you an eternal joy. Oh, to have my sins forgiven, all my sins. I sleep tonight knowing if I stand before God tomorrow, I know I will not be condemned. Oh, that is the sweetness of the gospel, my dear friends. I'm saying these things in order to make you to think about your eternal faith. It is so important. Oh, this text tonight tells us so much. Our need of reconciliation supersedes all our needs. Not to do anything for your soul, I believe it is an insult to yourself. It is as if you are abasing yourself. You are belittling yourself. You are putting yourself to the level of an animal, an object. But you see, it is also an insult to God. Why? Because God came himself in the person of Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross of Calvary to redeem you and me if we yield our lives to him and repent. But we said, no, we don't want him. We want ourselves. We are full of ourselves. Oh, my dear friends, you know, tonight I cannot tell you. I'm an ordinary preacher. I cannot tell you believe in Jesus Christ and you will be healed. I cannot tell you that. I cannot tell you believe in Jesus Christ and you will pass your exam. I cannot tell you, I have no right to tell you, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you will be successful, you will be well off, your bank account will grow bigger. I cannot tell you that. It will be even a sin telling you that. But you know, I can tell you something. I can be dogmatic on that. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are reconciled. You are reconciled right now where you are. Oh, this reconciliation, my dear friends, doesn't require a negotiation. You don't come to negotiate with God. It doesn't require, you know, some people, they just, oh, Lord, I apologize. No, it's not an apology God is after. God is not your buddy. He's not your pal. He's not your friend from the street. God is great. He's high, holy. So it's not just, oh, sorry, God, or I apologize. No, you come hand on your knees, head down, as little as you can be. Lord, I'm here because I heard that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. And he died for me, not just he died for everyone, which is not in the Bible, actually, but he died for me. And I trust in him, and I believe in him. And we bring nothing. We bring nothing, and we contribute nothing except our sins, except our sorrows, except our petitions, except our transgressions, except our iniquities. We bring nothing on the table. That is why, oh, may I say this to you again tonight. If you want to contribute anything to salvation, you will spoil it all. You will spoil it all because Christ has done it all. You can be in good terms with every person in the world. You can be a good friend to all your neighbors. But if you have never been reconciled with God, I can tell you it's vanity. And I'm sorry, I wish again I have a gentle word to tell you that you can be in peace with all men in the world. But if you are not in peace with Jesus Christ, you are going to hell. Oh, that's the word we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear that word. But it is a reality. And we mention that word because we love you. You know that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about hell more than any other subject? But look at the verse. May I give you a definition, my first heading really, a definition of reconciliation. The Greek word means to change your mind. To change your mind. That's the meaning of the word reconciliation. It means to have mutual exchange between two parties. And the word actually long ago was used with money exchange. You know, when you go to the changer, you exchange, you have dollars, you change them into pounds, you are reconciling two currencies. That's how the word was used long ago. So it was used for money exchange. And later, the same word reconcile or reconciliation means to bring two parties in war and causing them to make peace. You see the meaning? Oh, we have offended God. We are under his righteous indignation. But we need union. We need fellowship. We need amity instead of enmity with God. We need friendship with God. We need the fatherhood of God because we are so wretched and we need the rebuilding of our relationship with God. Friends, may I draw your attention? Something has gone wrong. Something has gone wrong. That is why we need reconciliation. And sometimes you speak with people, when you say you want to invite them to church or you give them a tract, their first reaction, I'm okay. Oh, I really hate that expression. I'm sorry to put it like that, because I see in the person, no, you are not okay. You are a broken person. You are a broken person. You have sinned against your maker. We are not okay and will never be okay without reconciliation. So that's the definition of the word. But look at the second heading, the necessity of reconciliation. You see, the English word is interesting. If, even if you take it, it's from Latin, by the way. Reconciliation. It means you have to do something that you have lost. Repetition. The conciliation, do the conciliation again. And this takes us back right from the beginning of this world. Something went wrong. Our first father has sinned against God. Adam and Eve, they have sinned against God. And through them, we have declared war against God by opening the hostilities. It is not God that has opened the hostilities, but because we are renegades, we are outlaws. Really, we are rebels. We are malefactors. All of us. That's why the Bible says all have sinned and come short to the glory of God without exception. Oh, my dear friends, we prefer to believe in a fog of lies. You know, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden believed in a snake. The snake speaking to them. I think sometime I know I will do worse than Adam, but in my foolishness, I often say to myself, if I was sitting there, I see a snake speak, what's happening? When a snake speaking, I never heard that. But you see, we prefer to believe in a fog of lies. The world, the media is telling us there is no God. And we believe that. We believe internet. Internet, the propaganda, the anti-God propaganda is telling us there is no God. We have piled up injuries and insults. Oh, my dear friends, God couldn't just say, you know the expression, to err is human. But God couldn't just say that. To err is human. No, to err is human. Yes, but to err, let's forget everything and be best friends. God will never say that. What? Because sin always has its consequences. You must pay for your sins. I must pay for my sins. And we have to face that. God could have left us wallowing in our sins. We are in a big mess, in a quagmire. Really, the putrefaction is so deep that God couldn't even look at us. Oh, my brothers and sisters, if you want to think about these things. But you see, in verse 18 here, we are told, but in Christ, God remembered his mercy. It is as if we have been kidnapped. You know, I know people who have been kidnapped. And back in Africa, I remember a man who has been kidnapped for 7 years in the hands of his kidnappers until a ransom was paid. You know, in the Sahara Desert there is no good food there. There is no medicine there. And he was there in the hands of his jailers. He has a family. Oh, the day he was, the ransom was paid and he was set free. What a day. That's our condition. That's our attitude and situation. It is as if we have been kidnapped by Satan. We are in his dungeon. We are in his prison. We are not free at all. It is another big lie of Satan. Do you know that? Satan is telling you are free. Nobody's free. We are only free to sin. That's us again. Oh, it is as if we have been kidnapped, and that is why a ransom must be paid. But we cannot pay that ransom. It is God who has to pay it. But let us look at how the ransom has been paid. Look at here in verse 19, a wonderful verse, to wit that God was in Christ. People ask us sometimes, where is God? Here is the answer. Do you see it here? God was in Christ. The man that died on the cross of Calvary, God was in Christ. Doing what? Doing what? Reconciling the world with himself. That is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see it there? Don't wonder where is God. Where is he? He's at the cross of Calvary. He's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Christ is the agent, the mediator, the person, the author, the sacrifice, and the price of reconciliation. And there, God was right there at that rugged cross of Calvary. Christ suffered to solve the big, wide, and deep chasm caused by our sins. He removed the obstacle. He filled the gulf that was between us and God. You know, there was an abyssal gulf between God and us. If you want, I use the words very simple. Christ became the bridge. He became the tunnel that will take you to God. And you walk without effort because he paid the price. He removed, he drove out the deadly poison. He provided the antidote for sin. Oh, Calvary, not in an air conditioning room. Calvary, where there is curse. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ suffered. Not on a table in an air conditioned room, but on that hill at Golgotha. The Lord Jesus Christ took upon himself our sins. Christ is the friend of sinners. Oh, think what it means tonight. I know the time is almost over, but think about it. To die without a savior. The Bible says to us, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, because God is a consuming fire. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so glad for you tonight again. There is no better place to be in Christ Jesus. Because when your life comes to an end in this world, you go straight into heaven. Sin drags us down, but Christ puts us up. He lifts us up. Christ was so impeccable, pure and holy in every single way. Only him is qualified. Please allow me again to read for you verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, not to anyone else, because we were hostile to him. We have opened the hostilities to the Lord Jesus Christ. So God reconciles us by Jesus Christ and to take us to Jesus Christ. That's what God has done and hath given us to us the ministry of reconciliation. My dear friends, there is something amazing here. Do you see it? Normally, if you are in conflict with somebody, Let's say you are in quarrel with somebody. Who goes to whom? It is the offended party. The offended party that goes? No, no, no. It is the offender. The offender goes to the offended one and say, oh, my dear friend, my dear wife, my dear husband, my dear colleague from work, please forgive me, I have offended you. But you see here, I think this is amazing. It is the offended one, God. We have offended God. It is him coming down and coming to us, running to us from heaven to earth. In God, it is God in Christ who stretched out his hands in order to take us on board, because he provided a perfect substitute, a ransomer and a redeemer. He came in a body like ours. That's amazing. Again, he didn't come with fire. He didn't come with brimstones. He didn't come as an angel. But he came in a body like ours, and he won the battle to set us free from sin, to defeat Satan, and to defeat death. Instead of giving us what we deserve, the punishment we deserve, God gave us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is your warrant to come to him tonight? God gave us to preach the ministry of reconciliation to you. Reconciled. God sees you as if you have never sinned. Let me close. Look at our last heading here. So number one, as I said, I gave the definition. Number two, the necessity of reconciliation. Number three, the reconciler, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now look at the reconciled. What happens to you and me when we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, Christ paid the unpaid and the unpayable. The reconciliation is personal. What happens to the reconciled one? Number one, the war is over. The war is over. And I can tell you, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will experience, just think about it, even humanly speaking, if today there is a ceasefire there in Gaza, the weapons stop there in Ukraine, and you don't hear even the smallest gunshot. What a relief. But this is just human peace. The peace of God, we read in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It surpasses all knowledge. The peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what you get when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the war is over, but I have to abdicate. I lay down my weapons and the animosity is over. He buried the hatchet. God buried his hatchet. Oh, the terrible war again is over. I can sit at the Lord's table. I gain more than I can give, for I give nothing. And I'm acquitted, no more condemnation. I'm saved. I have the forgiveness of all my sins. I have long-lasting peace. It's blessing upon blessing, total cleansing. I have heaven. By faith and repentance, I am reconciled with God. Please meet Christ tonight at the cross of Calvary. Come to him and trust in him. You know, when I mentioned UN, when they have a political peace treaties, they sign it with ink. But our peace was not signed with ink. It was signed with the pure blood of Jesus Christ. Pure blood. His blood signed our salvation. So look at it. Look at it. Take this offer to make it yours. It is not just be saved, but Paul said, but we beseech you. We beg you, we plead with you, we implore you. Verse 20, be reconciled to God. Put down your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is urgency here. Oh, take this verse today, verse 20. Take it. Actually, verse 18, verse 19, verse 20. Your three verses for your conversion and for your salvation. This is the greatest offer, my dear friends. I have no other offer to give you tonight, but this is yours. You have no reason to reject it. You know, in some cultures, it is an offense to reject a gift. Do you want to insult God tonight, rejecting the offer he has given you? What must I do to be saved? Be ye reconciled. That's the message. Come and receive the reconciler. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you. We pray you. Verse 20, in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Come to Christ and be reconciled.